The Church of God the Eternal presents a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, March 29th, 2010.
Well, good evening, brethren, on this beginning of the 7 days of unleavened bread. Here we are on this night, which God calls the night to be much observed. And even if years ago, brethren, in our parent organization, there wasn't necessarily the tradition of having a service or a sermonette, you know, it was one of those things that Mr. Raymond Cole started years ago for this remnant body, not to create a Sabbath service on this night, but just as a short reminder of the very purpose of this night in the plan of God, because he wants us to take it seriously, to think about what these things mean. And so by tradition, all of these years, we have done a very short sermonette before we all enjoy the physical food and the fellowship of this celebration. So in keeping, brethren, with that theme which I began last night with the Passover service, the recognition that Jesus Christ is the soon coming King. He is royalty and he sacrificed all for you and for me. What we're talking about, brethren, when we talk about the meaning of the days of unleavened bread and Israel's exodus out of Egypt, we are talking about the choice between two kings and two kingdoms. Because Israel was absolutely subjugated in slavery under Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And what God provided for them was a way to come out from that bondage and instead to be the citizens under a new king, which was God himself. And of course, they were ecstatic about that hope. Oh yes, the problem was that the ancient Israelites, as is true of all human beings, they didn't really understand at the time the price that would be required in order to really be blessed under their new king. In spite of Israel's misery and slavery under the hand of Pharaoh, down deep inside, they really preferred Pharaoh to be their king rather than this new God. Now, they didn't know that at the time, and most of them probably never acknowledged it. But notice Exodus 4, 28 through 31. Exodus 4, verses 28, they love the idea of being free under God, but they really had no idea what that would mean for them. But at the very beginning, when Moses and Aaron came and gave them the message, they were ecstatic. Notice verse 28, and Moses told Aaron all the words of the Eternal who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Eternal had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. Oh, they believed that Moses and Aaron had been sent by this God and that it was this God's purpose and mission to bring them out of slavery under Pharaoh. And they were all for it. Absolutely for it. The people believed, and when they heard that the Eternal had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. They were so thankful. And they were ecstatic about the opportunity, finally, to leave Egypt and the domination of Pharaoh as king. And so this night pictures a memorial of the coming out of ancient Israel. And of course, the spiritual equivalent, which is our coming out of sin, which is this world, Satan's world. So let's notice Exodus 12. We'll read verses 21 through 42 quickly, as we do by tradition, just to remind ourselves of what happened in antiquity, the means physically by which God literally brought this great miracle to pass, and those ancient people came out of Egypt and became a nation under God. So let's read it quickly, beginning in verse 21 of chapter 12. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And so there's the Passover service, the command. And at this time, the people were all ears and willing to do whatever Moses said God required in order for them to be set free. They were willing. They were teachable. They said, you just tell us what to do and we will do it because we want to be free of Pharaoh. We don't want to be under his dominion anymore. Just tell us what we have to do. So Moses gave God's instructions concerning the Passover, and they did it. They followed the instructions to the letter. And by virtue of their obedience, they were spared, and their firstborn were saved, as we will see. Verse 25, and it shall come to pass when you become the land which the Eternal will give you according as he hath promised that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Eternal's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshiped. Again, they're humble, they're teachable at this moment. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. They obeyed. They were motivated. And it came to pass that at midnight the Eternal smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle, meaning all of their livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Eternal as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said and be gone and bless me also. Another way of saying, and please get your God to remove this curse from me and my people. That's what he meant by a blessing. Stop harassing us. We want peace. Well, this was a war between two kings. God, the king of heaven and earth, against this human king Pharaoh under the auspices of Satan the devil, and who pictured that kingdom of Satan, later to be Babylon. And God humbled this other king in his way and brought them low, made an example of them, and brought Israel, a slave people, out with a high hand. So this was a battle between two kings, and there was only ever one outcome, because the only real king with great authority is God. Verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. They knew they were up against a power spiritually, supernaturally, that they could not resist. And so they just wanted that power to go away and to leave them alone. And they were willing to do whatever they had to do. Okay, he wants those slaves freed, we'll free them. He wants us to give the wealth of the nation, we'll give it to them. Just get them out of here. That's how God humbled them. The people took their dough before it was leavened. Verse 34, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They didn't go out a ragtag, poor, vagabond people. They went out a wealthy people by virtue of the riches that they took from Egypt at the hands of the Egyptians who gave it. Verse 37, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, and even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt. It was a hasty exodus, which is where the significance of unleavened bread comes in. Not time to rise, but it's something that you prepare to be able to eat and to partake of. It is not the normal diet, and that of God's way is not the normal diet of human beings. And unleavened bread represents the unadulterated bread, the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself. They were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Verse 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelled in Egypt was 430 years, a long time from the time that God called Abraham out and sent him to be basically a vagabond in that wilderness. 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal. That, my dear brethren, was the night they went out. That's the night we're celebrating now, according to God's calendar. The beginning of the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. They went out with a high hand at night, at the beginning of the feast, following the Passover that they had kept when they stayed in their homes against the passage of the death angel the night before. And then the following night, after spoiling the Egyptians and their hasty preparation, more than probably 2+ million people walked out of Egypt by night. No longer slaves, no longer citizens, slave citizens under Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, but now citizens under a new nation called Israel, under God, their new king. It is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. No longer Egyptian citizens, citizens of God's new kingdom. This is that night of the Eternal, to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations, a memorial that God intended to be repeated every single year for us, especially spiritual Israelites, those called and begotten of God, then to remember what this passage from the world, Satan's world, out of that kingdom, with our minds and our hearts committed instead to walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and pursuing the ways of our new King, Jesus Christ, that soon coming King, sacrificing all that's required for us to walk in a new way, according to a new set of laws, which are not according to this world. That's what we're doing, brethren, when we walk out of our spiritual Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. So, my dear brethren, God commands that we relish and celebrate this evening and remember the gift of God and the joy of our conversion, the opportunity to change our citizenship, to have now a chance to worship and to serve a different king from the one that we were forced to serve against our will from birth as slaves. We are citizens of a different kingdom, and that is something to celebrate indeed. We need to take that first love, which ancient Israel originally manifested, but we need to maintain it. And instead of being weary in well-doing, we need to be committed to relishing this calling and walking forward. This is a night to celebrate, a celebration now which pictures our opportunity for real freedom.
The Church of God, the Eternal, has just presented a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, March 29th, 2010.